Sam Malai here. At The Law Entrepreneur with our host, Bridget Norris, we focus on law firm strategies for law firm growth. Practical plays to help scale firms for every shape, size, and practice. It's time to talk about scaling. Let's have some fun.
Welcome back to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help lawyers stop blending in and start building firms and lives they actually love. Today's episode is one I've been looking forward to because we're diving into the journey of someone who went from calling himself a boring lawyer to becoming a LinkedIn storytelling master and community builder. My guest is Jimmy Lai, CEO of Lai & Turner Law in Oklahoma, where he helps immigrants secure U.S. visas to start, scale, and succeed in the U.S. But if you follow him online, you know him as the founder of the Unforgettable Professionals Community, a place where so-called boring professionals learn to tell stories that attract clients, build authority, and actually make them unforgettable. This conversation is about mindset, storytelling, and strategy, and it might just change the way you think about LinkedIn forever. Let's jump in. All right. Welcome, Jimmy. I'm super excited for this conversation. So before we jump in, if you want to share a little bit about yourself and your practice so that everybody can get to know you a little bit first.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me here. My name is Jimmy Lai. I'm originally from Taiwan, and I started my own law firm here in Oklahoma City 2 years ago. Basically, being an international student, I struggled with finding jobs. So then I discovered what's called the E2 visa, which allows me to start my own firm and then to kind of continue living and having a career in the U.S. And since then, it started as just myself, and we've grown to a team of 23 team members, full-time, part-time, some VAs. And myself, I practice immigration law, so I help others immigrate to the U.S. with business or employment solutions. And my law firm, we practice Oklahoma law for family, estate planning, criminal defense, personal injury. So those are kind of our main practice areas right now.
Wow, that's pretty expansive. I didn't expect you to tell me all those practice areas.
I struggled because the conventional business advice is niche down, find your niche, figure out your niche. So in some sense, I only focus on immigration cases now. But it was kind of hard because when you start your own business with no prior experience being an attorney, no prior experience being a business owner, it's really hard to turn away business. As long as we're competent, we took on the business, and it's just hard to say no. And then eventually we figured out, okay, we do need to niche down, but in a sense, I'm trying to build a full service law firm still, so that to service Oklahoma and with pretty ambitious goals that I would like to achieve in the next 10 years.
I love that. Well, Sam, and he always says all the time, he's definitely open to expanding. Once you scale one, then go to the next one. And then I think it's the concept of coming in and trying to scale everything all at once, which is so impossible. You have to know that pick one thing, get really good at it, then start to the next thing. So that sounds like that's what you did. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that applies also to marketing, because early on also, I was just dabbling in various marketing, trying this, trying that. And now I'm trying to figure out, okay, doing my numbers and then figuring out if this is a profitable marketing channel. And then doubling down on this before trying everything else. Because right now I'm trying to do YouTube, I'm trying to do Instagram, LinkedIn. I got addicted to LinkedIn, which I will talk a little bit about. So I'm everywhere right now. So I just need to realize, okay, what's my most profitable, or like what can generate the most return, and then double down on that, then add on a different channel.
We talk about that a lot too with the marketing. Everybody always asks, so I want to do Facebook, I want to do TikTok, I want to do... Wait till you get something that works, and then exactly what you said, you double down on it. How much are you spending in marketing? Double it, and then focus on expanding into other... But it's really hard for people, I'm going to be honest. It's hard to not want to do all things.
Yeah, even right now, even though I know the concepts and everything, but it's hard for me. I still want to do everything here and there, but now I'm trying to see how I can utilize my staff, like the attorneys, and show off their expertise. Because if I'm on LinkedIn, I'm talking about immigration, I don't think I'm an expert in family law. So I wouldn't be able to share anything, the nuances of family law. So now the challenge is getting my team involved in marketing efforts.
And are they open and excited to that? Or are they kind of
sure? They're excited about it. But then the challenge is then they're like, oh, we don't have time. So now, because I'm still kind of wearing many hats now. I was HR, marketing, operations. We just finally 2 weeks ago hired on a HR specialist to really start doing the HR correctly, and then just hiring on a fractional CFO is my next step to get our numbers better, because we're operating at a smaller margin than we would like.
So is your goal to expand to kind of be more the CEO visionary rainmaker and then only take on cases that you want to take on, or you're still going to be focused on just immigration and?
Yeah, so actually right now, I would say for about a year or so, I've only been spending maybe 10-20% of my time doing the actual legal work. And I'm, most of my time spent being the CEO, doing the marketing, talking with vendors and trying to figure out how we can grow the business and networking. So I would say 80% of my time is pretty much spent on CEO like type activities. I'm not there yet, but yeah, that's kind of where there's like the business of law and the practice of law. And I openly joke with my friends and with clients that it's like, I may not be the smartest attorney, but my job is to find the best attorneys to service you. So that's kind of like what I see myself as. Like, I don't need to be the smartest. I don't need to be the best attorney in my law firm. I just need to be the best known and get the clients coming in. And then I'll be finding the best attorneys available to fulfill these clients.
I love that. That brings me to the fun part of this conversation. The idea that you called yourself the boring lawyer, which is so funny because it totally projected a post of my own, a little series of my own with being the boring lawyer. So I would really love to kind of hear your story from going from that. And I know that being on LinkedIn and what the real moment for you was for realizing that part of it.
Yeah. So I think what sparked the conversation of, getting on LinkedIn was I attended one of those law firm conferences, and one of the attorneys shared that he used LinkedIn as a referral strategy. And he said if he gets one client a month or even just one client from LinkedIn a year, it could be worth it still. I was, okay, let me try that out. So last September, I started at, I think I was at 1,300 followers. And before that, like 12 years of LinkedIn was just randomly sending out connection requests. And even though I don't know them, I just like sent out connection requests. So somehow I had 1,300 followers. But that was back in September. And that was one of the reason was because I wanted to kind of figure out LinkedIn and referral strategy. The other was I was spending upwards of, and still am, anywhere between 20 to 30,000 a month on ads, Google ads, Facebook ads, agency fees. Those tend to be a little bit higher. And because of my inability to put all eggs in one basket, I have probably like four different agencies doing expertise there. So like one's doing Google ads for family. Well, one's doing family and immigration on Facebook. The other one's doing immigration on Facebook. And we have another one that does only DUI on Google. So eventually, probably figuring out a way to consolidate that because the agency fee is taking up a bulk of that, marketing spend. So with that in mind, I figured I need to start to build up like a personal brand so that I don't need to rely on ads as much. I mean, maybe I'll still use the ads to kind of scale and grow, but if there's ways for me to do that without having to spend too much money. So that's why I started on LinkedIn. And since then, growing on LinkedIn and made really great connections. I would say I only had, like one client from LinkedIn I signed up. And then we have a couple of referrals. And now it's starting to get there where my goal on LinkedIn is just to be on top of mind. Like how all the big PI lawyers are using billboard strategy to be awareness top of mind. That's my strategy on LinkedIn. It's like flood LinkedIn, try to make my content fun and generate the awareness so that they know that, hey, there's this immigration lawyer on LinkedIn called Jimmy. And he also does, legal work in Oklahoma. So that's kind of like my strategy for LinkedIn. And over time, even though I haven't signed up as many clients on LinkedIn yet, but we've hired three team members directly from LinkedIn without having to spend on ads. So I would say like that's a win in my book. Is, then I figure out that potentially it could be a recruiting strategy because another attorney came to us because they saw my post saying I'm looking for an attorney. And then they kind of went and asked my other associates because they were friends and they're like, hey, is Lyon Turner a good law firm to go to? And so that's how we ended up hiring another attorney. So I see that as a recruiting strategy. And then how we got to the boring part was I got a lot of DMs and people asking me, how did you grow? And most commonly I would say the most common objection to people posting is that they think they have nothing to write about. They think they're boring. They think there's no interesting content. And that was what I thought I was, because I thought my life was, I'm an introvert. I don't go out much. I don't party. I thought I was boring. And I blame Suits, the TV show Suits, for making people think that lawyer life is exciting. But no, lawyer life is not exciting. It's quite boring. So I figured I'd market myself as like the boring lawyer who kind of discovered the storytelling, and the story is what people resonate with. And kind of like that kind of framework has really helped me get more attention to my LinkedIn profile.
I think that brings me to like another thing is thinking that, and I see a lot of it still where lawyers want to post just about like legal updates or cases or, and I kind of liken it to, if you're trying to use this as a way to gain clients or to gain traction, I don't think that's something that they would be looking at. So how do you maintain the balance? Because there's obviously some of that you want to post to maintain credibility, and then some of it that needs to be posted to actually be able to attract people, like regular humans.
Yeah. So like on this LinkedIn journey, I signed up to a lot of, you know, personal branding courses and LinkedIn course. And it boils down to, in the beginning, is like finding out who your, I guess, like, it's like marketing. Who's your target audience? Who's your target client? So to like kind of figure out who you're trying to speak to, and then building out your content pillars. And so like it makes it easier. Okay, these five are my content pillars. So right now on my profile, I think I have leadership as one, law firm growth as one, attorney, like anything attorney life or attorney related, a little bit of AI stuff, and marketing. I think that those are kind of like my main content. And one of them, and the last one, is the school community that I'm trying to build up right now. So like with those content pillars in mind, and that's kind of, I have my content strategy laid out. And on the weekend, I use kind of more relaxed. There's no content pillar. It's just like whatever I find interesting is just experiment with it, because there's not a lot of people on LinkedIn anyways on the weekends. So it's a time to shine and just kind of be yourself, be more yourself, authentic. So I don't know if you saw, but this past weekend, it's just a random conversation with a friend saying, "Hey, Harry Potter donuts with Krispy Kreme." And then he said, like, "You just broke news to me." So I just took a screenshot of that and just tagged Krispy Kreme and said, "Hey, you know, I broke news to a friend. I think Krispy Kreme, how fun it would it be if Krispy Kreme responded to this?" And then I sent DMs to 20 Krispy Kreme brand managers, marketing people. One person finally responded and DM me his email. So we'll discuss if anything comes of it. And then on Tuesday morning, when I went to go get donuts, Monday, I went to get donuts, and they said it sold out at 7 o'clock. So then they said they're going to go there early. So I woke up at 5:30, and that turned into another content. Like, okay, a lawyer wakes up at 5:30, not for court, but just to get donuts for his team, because, you know, one member of the team said they wanted Harry Potter donuts. So then that turned into another content, and that one had like 10,000 impressions right now. So it's just, I guess my bar might be low on what I find interesting, and that's what made it. People take themselves too seriously on LinkedIn sometimes.
That's what I was going to say is that I'm wondering if all of the content that people feel so comfortable to post on like Instagram, because they think that's the place for it, or, you know, I'm posting in stories and that disappears, so I can post it and it goes away. You know, is that translatable to someone who, I mean, it doesn't matter what type of law you practice. If you're trying to grow a brand and you're trying to, you know, lead or be a specific voice, I mean, obviously the spaces can be crowded, like everything. Would you say that would be a great transition to come off of? I mean, if they're already posting about their life, whatever it looks like in Instagram, and is that relatable and transferable to LinkedIn?
Yeah, I think parts of it, because LinkedIn, I think, is still in a way heavily more on the educational value side of things. So like the trick is try to figure out making content that's highly educational and highly shareable. That's the key factor. Like if you can get people to repost your stuff will go more viral. And so I say like, and just to make things more interesting, like not to be the boring, like, oh, this Supreme Court said this and this court decision is this. Maybe you add in like maybe 20% of the content is still there just to build all your authority. But I think what gets people's attention is your lifestyle, what went on. For example, I posted last month about a conversation with a Gen Z staff. he texted me at, you know, I think it was like 10:30 at night. So I made it into a content, and that post blew up and had almost 600,000 impressions.
Oh, Lord.
Just like saying, hey, last week a Gen Z staff texted me at this time. So that was the hook. And then I thought he wanted to quit and something like that. And then that post just blew up. So anything really, like what happens in your life, even if you're in the, like procurement or HR, I think you can blend in some of the things that you do on the daily, and you can turn that into a story and add some value to it. Those are some ways. And even in your role, I believe like you're helping tons of women CEOs running their businesses. And I think there's always conversations, or there are some things that maybe you shared and said, hey, maybe like, oh, so-and-so or this person was struggling with marketing. And then we discussed these things. And then, you know, these are some of the things that they didn't realize. Or, hey, the company X said, I want to improve my marketing. But then we did a deep dive into the social media and found that there was 100 unread messages, in which like 50 messages was asking about services. And so that could be a content in itself already. So like, I think maybe it's just my bar is too low, and I just find things interesting, like whatever happens. And now like being active on LinkedIn so much that anything that happens in everyday occurrence, I was like, okay, that's a LinkedIn content. And then I'll kind of put my notes down. Yeah.
If your calendar is empty or chaotic, My Legal Academy Systems helps fill it with consults, streamline intake, and make marketing easy and measurable. Start your firm's growth journey today. Book a call with us at schedule.mylegalacademy.com. Again, that's schedule.mylegalacademy.com.
So I have two things. I mean, one of them has always been an issue for, like, storytelling is like, sometimes I think for some people it's hard. Like, we're very pragmatic, and it's like da 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 da, and it's very hard to get used to weaving in stories and get used to that. And so that's one thing. Like, what would you say to somebody who maybe struggles with that? Like you said, you could take anything that happened in your day and create a post from it, but having that post be something somebody actually wants to read and respond to is the trick.
Yeah. So I'm still learning, like how to tell better stories. And I'm trying to learn how, like, different storytelling formats, and then like kind of looking at all these, you know, big LinkedIn creators, how they write. But I think a big portion of it boils down to your hook. The first three lines, like that first three lines, just, it's like you're scrolling on TikTok and YouTube shorts. People's attention span it's really, really low. So those three lines, you kind of want to, and my trick is basically try to spark curiosity. Because people are nosy, and then so they're like, okay, they want to learn more. So like, how do I get people to click to see more? So that's why I think like some stories hooks. I think like the most recent one, like, it's 5:30 a.m. and a lawyer waking up at 5:30 to go get donuts instead of getting. So that people are like, okay, wondering why are you like waking up at 5:30 but not for court? Oh, you're going to go get donuts, and that was interesting. And they're like, okay, why are you going to get donuts? So it's like the hook, the rehook, and then the story, and then you end. Some people add their, you know, get people to engage and say, hey, you know, what do you think? The most common, I think the best CTAs are just getting the easy answers, like yes and no answers, or numbered, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like if you have it open-ended, sometimes people are like, I don't know what to comment. I don't know what to say. But I feel like, do you agree? Yes. And then so like people just, yes, I agree, or no, I don't. And then that would just be more inclined to write more after they have the simple yes or no answer.
So with AI and everybody being able to get, I'm seeing this a lot on lots of different platforms, but the fact that you can get any type of education, you can get any question answered, how do you think that may play into, or is it already playing into the LinkedIn being super educational, where we are like, oh, we can all go find this information on ourselves. Why would we post it? Why would we post about it?
That's a really good question. I don't really know the answer to that. I think people can tell when the content is AI. And I would say like AI assists with my writing, but the content idea, I make those content ideas and run it through AI. And then
right. Just
making sure that people hate the M dash for some reason. So I just use a hyphen instead of an M dash just to change it up. But I think people know that, you know, AI is so easy, and they crave the real stories. So I think if you still keep it authentic, even the AI assisted, but if you have authentic story, authentic content, I think people will still want that. It's like we're in the information age. Information is readily available. Whether you go seek it out yourself or it's fed to you on LinkedIn, and whether they like this particular person and want to follow them. So in the example is like a recent referral, and this person was really excited that he was able to refer me someone, his own family member, because they were talking about immigration. And I was like, oh, I just met Jimmy. I came across Jimmy a month ago. And then I really like his content on LinkedIn. And so he DM'd me and said, yeah, my family member needs immigration. And I said, yeah. So and we just set a meeting and we'll be speaking soon.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I think when we talk about algorithms, which we can never, ever know exactly what an algorithm is going to be and how it's not going to change today or tomorrow. But if you had like to give the top three or even two tactics that you could give to lawyers to say, this is what I would suggest you do if you're trying to engage with maybe lawyers to get referrals, or would they be different tactics if you were trying to engage to get clients, or are they, is it the same?
I think they're the same, but then just really understand like what's your strategy, because and the practice area, LinkedIn is more B2B. So for immigration space, it was a little bit more challenging because you don't know who necessarily need immigration. And one thing would be like setting your profile up, optimized. So your feature sections, you want to make sure that it's if you have a process for them to get in touch with you and book a time with you, maybe a page that opens up to your referral videos or whatever. So I think you want to optimize your banner, your feature sections. And in terms of signing up clients through LinkedIn for lawyers, I would say storytelling. I think lawyers are good writers already. So I think we can turn that into storytelling content. For example, I think I recently saw a PI attorney say like this client of theirs fired their previous attorney and end up coming to them, and like the story and the journey. And they had a really strong hook. Like, okay, I think it was like, we settled this well, I mean, we won this case for $1 million, but where the other attorney encouraged my client to settle for 10,000. So that was like a big hook. I was like, okay, like it makes you curious, like why? And then he talks about what they did to get to the $1 million judgment, things like that. So I think as attorneys, you can always, there's probably plenty of stories that they can share to kind of show their authority, plus also increase your trust and the likeness. So I always think about whenever I'm posting content, now I keep these things in mind, like, is it going to make them know me better? Is it going to make them like me more? And is it going to make them trust me more? So those are kind of like the three key things that I try to maximize whenever I post.
Oh, that's awesome. So if there is one mistake that you see lawyers making that either just making generally on LinkedIn or making that's killing any ability for them to get growth at all, what do you think that would be, other than probably posting super generic, boring, nobody wants to read the Supreme Court ruling of whatever that they can read on their own?
I think the mistake would be not paying attention to the hook. It may be like a case study or one of their cases, exciting, is great. But if they don't pay attention to the hook, no one's going to read the body of it. So I think that might be one of the mistakes. And the other mistake would be trying to analyze too much, trying to show, I guess, show off. I don't want to say show off, but try not to show off too much. Just show enough that lets people know that you're an expert, you're an attorney, you know what you're talking about. But I wouldn't start writing research papers or things like that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think I've been told a few times by a few lawyers that lawyers are skimmers. They tend to skim things quickly. So would you say keep the content shorter when you're directing your content, specifically the lawyers?
Yeah. So like keep it short. There's like two thoughts on this. One is like, if you really want to build your authority a lot, then you can make it long, but you got to make sure that every paragraph is exciting enough for them to keep on reading to the next. Or you got to know that if it's early morning and they're just scrolling and trying to get ready for work, then you just want to make it easily skimmable and just like one sentence or two sentences, three sentences, and then make it look nice and with enough white space. And so right now I'm like, when I write, I think I'm turning into like a LinkedIn writer. I have to put space in between sentences now.
I know, that's bad. That's like the marketing. You're just being a marketing writer. Like, and then I think about, like, I always try to think about if I was going to read this, how would I read it? And how would you keep getting me to read it? If you cram all the words together, I'm probably not going to read it. I'm going to maybe miss some important sentences in between there where they're all smashed together. So I try to do that as well. But I think sometimes we can definitely overthink it. So if you could only spend 30 minutes a week on LinkedIn, and I know that that is probably nowhere near what you're spending, but if the lawyer could only spend 30 minutes a week on LinkedIn, what should they focus on?
I would just say, like, if it's only 30 minutes, then we'll work through the beginning, like your content pillars, all that stuff, right? So assuming that's already done, I would say with the 30 minutes you have, batch write, just start writing and then batch write them and then just schedule them out. It's fine to schedule them out and then maybe start with two posts per week and then go from there. And then, but LinkedIn doesn't like when you post and ghost. So preferably, even though if you schedule, let's say you schedule for 7 a.m., preferably you still want to get on at like 15 to 30 minutes beforehand or 15 minutes after just to engage and comment on other people's posts to show that you're not posting and ghosting. And so that, you know, so 30 minutes is really not enough. I would say ideally you probably want to dedicate maybe 2 hours a week to LinkedIn. That's at a bare minimum, so you can have time to write, plus engaging with other people's content and then replying to people commenting on your content.
I think to me, it feels like LinkedIn is, obviously it's a long-term game. It's not an instantaneous, you're not going to have a million followers overnight. So just like with YouTube, it's long-term, you've got to be committed to it. Do you think that it's more going to play a role in the leadership aspect and the brand authority aspect versus, you know, obviously creating ads on Facebook that get you clients specifically? Because I think LinkedIn ads are probably the same. They're a little longer lead and you're not really sure if you're going to find the right clients. Whereas in Facebook and Instagram, everybody lives there. So it doesn't matter what type it is. So I feel like LinkedIn is more of a way to build brand authority and kind of be the authority in the space.
Yeah, you're right. You absolutely nailed it. I believe that as well. And I think LinkedIn is kind of like, you know, SEO, like website SEO, like you're building your own SEO into you. I don't think people ever search on LinkedIn really, but then somehow, you know, LinkedIn feeds you the stuff that you consume. So in a way, I kind of see it as in terms like when I say SEO, it's like, it's a long-term game. Like you're not going to get the dividends. You're not going to get a result immediately. What you see now, 8,000 followers, that's almost a year of work putting into it. So it's not a fast growth, but the connections you make on LinkedIn are, I think it's more deep. Like it's more impactful than a connection or a follower on Instagram or Facebook.
So have you made a lot of connections maybe outside of the, you know, legal world and law practice that has also helped you grow?
Yeah. Yeah, so one of our Facebook marketing vendor actually just DM'd me on LinkedIn. And if anyone's seeing this, yeah, sure, please continue to DM me. That's fine. But I do get a lot of DMs, but he caught my attention with a DM. So that's another strategy. It's not just posting. DM is another strategy to gain clients. And so he DM'd me on LinkedIn and he had a compelling offer and that caught my attention. And I was like, okay, let's give it a go. And I met with him, discussed what he was doing. And then we started working on Facebook ads. And the last 3 months, we generated about 8x return on our investment. So that has worked out. And I would say there's like plenty of financial advisors that I'm coming across that can help me with my finances. And there's some legal bookkeepers as well that I've connected with on LinkedIn. So I think LinkedIn is a gold mine. There's plenty there and plenty of opportunities on LinkedIn.
So maybe for especially lawyers who are working specifically with other businesses or maybe they trademarks or business law or corporate or something along those lines, I feel like this is a perfect platform for them to really build on because these are your ideal clients, essentially, especially if you don't have a very specific niche that you're working in. It's kind of everyone's there. It's kind of open.
Yeah. And then so the one attorney type that does really well is employment attorneys. So like there's one employment attorney that she has almost 500,000 followers, I believe, because she's posted about the dark side of HR, being an in-house counsel and working for a corporation. So she shared like stories of that and that resonates because everyone, almost a lot of people on LinkedIn are you know, employees. So that type of content resonates, and she's gotten thousands of inquiries and leads actually from, you know, just on LinkedIn. I also said, even if it's family law and criminal defense, you can still get referrals that way. If your audience are attorneys or just regular people in your area, and they see you as the authority of, you know, speaking about family law and like issues like that, they might see you as an authority, and then eventually they'll reach out.
Yeah, I think it's the idea of, like you said, it's being the authority, being recognized as the authority. And although, you know, everybody wants to scale their business via ads and be whatever, there's still something to be said for the lost art of building relationships and actually connecting with people and having a referral network, being able to say, okay, I can't help you because I'm not in California, but I certainly know a bunch of people I can refer you to. I think we went from, you can't just be all referrals, to now people wanting to just be all ads. And I think we've gone from one extreme to the next without actually living in the middle.
Right. Yeah.
I think so. If lawyer wants to become the unboring lawyer, or wants to, I don't label themselves as, I know we look at LinkedIn, I look at all some of the funny, the Yoda of this, and I'm the Star Wars X of this, and I'm the, it's definitely interesting, and it definitely makes me read it. So you definitely want to do that. So if we had to leave them with, we know the brand pillars, we know that you should understand what you're talking about and who you're talking to, and generally, if you're out there marketing in the world, you probably have that established. After that, it's just starting to host. But what would you say is, although it took a year, I mean, you created another, 7,000 followers in a year. That's still pretty amazing. If somebody wanted to even grow to that in 1 year, what is the commitment level? What is the number one thing that you would leave them with that they would need to do to make sure that they can accomplish that?
Consistency. That's the number one thing, is just show up every day. For me in the beginning, it was 1 to 3 posts a week. And then it turned into, somehow I just got addicted to LinkedIn and I posted once a day. And now it's 2 to 4 times a day. And then I actually scheduled them out, because for today, I've been busy, but I was able to post a couple times already. And so I just scheduled them out. And if I can be online to reply to comments, I will. And if not, I can't. But I would say it's consistency and not giving up, staying the course, and understand that people will come across your content, and it compounds over time. And all you're looking for is just that 1% improvement. That's kind of what I learned from Laura Acosta. She's one of those LinkedIn creators, and she talked about just focus on the 1% improvements, and it just compounds over time. And so you don't have to, even if you post to one follower on day one, it compounds and it slowly grows and adds. And I would say joining different communities as well, it helps you be in a supportive environment, and they can help you with your writing, give you feedback. That's what I did in the beginning, was I joined all these different communities to kind of learn how to write, and getting support from the other community members.
I think it's the idea behind, you've got to want to grow, like decide how it is you want to grow, decide what that looks like, and go all in on it without expecting there to be an easy button. I find a lot of times people will even come to us and be like, oh, I thought I was just going to be able to press this easy button and everything was going to be magically done. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I'll tell, I'll say back to the attorneys, if they ever said like, oh, I thought it was going to be overnight success, like, well, how long did you go to law school for to be an attorney? Like, you didn't become an attorney overnight. So good things will take time, and you put in the work to become an attorney. You're also going to have to put in the work for being on LinkedIn, just because that's it. If you're the best attorney in the world, but if no one knows about you, how are they going to hire you? And why should they care? Like, why should people care on LinkedIn? You know, even if you're the best right now, but you don't share like what you've done for your clients and these stories, and it doesn't connect with your audience, then it's still not going to do well. You can be the best attorney in the world, but if no one knows you, if they don't like you, they don't trust you, you're going to struggle with business.
Yes. And be memorable. I think that if you don't take anything from this conversation, is that LinkedIn does not have to be corporate speak on every single thing anymore. I think people are actually exhausted from it. I think people stopped going to LinkedIn because they were tired of that kind of same basic stuff. And now the deeper conversations even, and I don't even remember how I ended up finding one of your posts actually, but how that rolls out is now the people that off of your post that now have connected with me and I connect with, we have great conversations and I have people reaching out saying, oh, this is what you do. I think I can help you. I think it all unexpected from just being willing to be active and not post things that are just so generally tiring.
And so just trying to make it fun. Like even my cheese rant, that was what a lot of people know me, like my cheese rant. I think it was like midnight or late at night. I said, since it's like maybe, I think it was like 9 p.m. I was like, since it's 9 p.m. on LinkedIn, and this is a free hook. So you can say it's like late at night. And since it's late at night, no normal lawyers or no one's going to see this on LinkedIn. It's safe for me to say this. And so that's the hook. So this is a free hook that it works a lot. And then I just went down the more. It's like, and I just said, cheese is overrated. And then that blew up and had, I think, like 400 reactions and people commenting on it. And they're like, no, why? And so like just started all this conversation. So I'm known as the person who hates cheese. But the thing is, I never said I hate cheese. I just said it's overrated. I didn't say I hate it. It's just overrated. But then that's kind of what people know me by now. And I also want to give one more advice for anyone seeing this is, you know how your LinkedIn name and then underneath your headline, don't say like, immigration attorney or IP attorney or like a senior associate. Like, don't do that. Like, do like what you like, who's your ideal client that you help? So for example, like I put like, I help immigrants, or I help families, individuals, and businesses immigrate to the US via this. So like just letting people know what you do, so it makes it easier for them to know, okay, this is what you do. So if you do IP, maybe you can make it a little bit more simple terms, like, okay, I help businesses protect their brand or protect their assets or what you do exactly. Because until I met an IP attorney, I didn't really know what an IP attorney did the whole time. So I was like, okay, now I know. Like, they litigate and they protect your brand, your assets, your copyright, your you know, whatever, and registering it, trademarks. So that's one. I think that's a really, when you asked me earlier, and I just thought of that just now.
So two things. So we're going to leave you with.
Yeah.
You have go check your headline right now. Make sure that it's not boring and that you're not just saying you're a personal injury lawyer or whatever other kind of lawyer. Number two, use the hook that he gave. We'll actually put that in the show notes too so that you can grab it. And then if you use that hook, find Jimmy on LinkedIn and let him know how it worked. Tag me as well. I'd be super curious how it worked. I haven't tried the it's late at night yet, but I'm going to have to try that one and see. I'm like one of those night owls too, where I'm like, it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm still scrolling. So I definitely have the time to do that. So I'll have to try it. But all of your information is going to be in our show notes too. So if you're not following Jimmy, go follow him. I guarantee you, you're going to not only learn stuff, you'll probably laugh a lot. And the connections of the people that follow you so far have been pretty amazing. So there is no loss in any of that. So reach out to him. He's amazing. He has a community as well. I'm inside it, the value inside there. If you're really wanting to learn LinkedIn without having to do what most of us do and buy 50 courses and 50 things and try to be in all of them, the community is great. Join it. There's a lot of information in there. And I appreciate you coming on. This has been exactly what I thought it would be about LinkedIn. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
That's the Law Entrepreneur for today. I'm Sam Malai. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe to the Law Entrepreneur for more legal content and practical growth plays.